Good morning, Christ Church. So glad to be in worship with you today. It's great to see all of you out there with your jerseys on and all of that. Somebody said, well, where's yours, John? Well, it's right here. Let's see. There it is. Go Duke. Right. You do know there was a game last night, I guess. That was good. And for all you Virginia fans out there, I'm sorry, you know, but it was a well-played game, and it was an exciting thing to be a part of, because it was an edge-of-your-seat kind of experience last night, and Virginia has nothing to be ashamed of, I can tell you that. All right, enough about sports for at least for an hour, okay? All right, we can do that more later. Oh, by the way, you know, for those of you who have already been putting food out there in the vans, you know, for the Super Bowl. You know, I was telling you that we're keeping a running total. Now, as of last night, okay, if you want to know what the score is as of last night, that doesn't count anything you put in there today, but I'm going to update you at the end of the worship service today about what the updated score is. But as of 6:30 last night, Seahawks 99, Patriots 82 is the score thus far. All right, but we'll see what happens. Whatever you guys did, we'll see what happens at the end of this service today. All right, so we're in part five of our Get Happy series. We're studying through arguably the happiest book of the Bible, which is the book of Philippians. You want to pull out your Christ Church notes. They're there in your worship program. Find that pen on the seat back in front of you. There are some things I want you to fill in today. I'm going to ask you to circle a few things around, and we're going to dive in here in just a moment. But today, we're in the beginning of chapter 4 today in the book of Philippians, and it is the classic anti-stress prescription from Paul today. This is the classic anti-stress verses in the Bible from Philippians chapter 4. We're going to begin with chapter 4, verse 4, and then verses 6 to 8. On your outline, I'm going to read right here. It says this. It's Paul's words to us. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Okay, well, there's the happiest book in the Bible stuff right there. So we keep on going. He says, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers and sisters, I close this letter. Let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. This is God's word for you and me today. Let me tell you where the key verse is in this passage. Key verse is verse 7. And the reason why this is the key verse is because this is the verse that has the guarantee, the anti-stress prescription guarantee, that guarantee that it's going to work. And he says this, if you do this, that is, if you put what Paul just said into practice, if you do this, you'll experience what? God's peace. There it is. You'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Okay, so what is it that's going to give you God's peace? It's these four things that he just told us about. Go ahead, put it on the screen. Let's say them together. Here are the four things that Paul has just told us. He says, worry about nothing, pray about everything, thank God in all all things and think about good things. One more time. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things and think about good things. That's what Paul has just been teaching us. And he says, look, folks, if you'll put these four strategies in place and put them in place in your life, then you will experience the peace that passeth all understanding, as the song goes. You'll have the peace that passes understanding down in your heart. That's right. Matter of fact, if you ever wondered where that that song you might have learned as a kid, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, you know, it's right here from chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, right here. And so the promise is that if you'll put these things into practice, these strategies into practice, your unhappiness is going to go down significantly, and your happiness is going to grow exponentially. Okay, so we're going to look at these in detail. Let's get right into it. Are you ready for some Bible study? I hope so, because you're in the right place if you are. All right, so number one, if you want to keep from stressing out, that's right, if you want your heart to be happy, if you want the peace that passes understanding down in your heart, you need to refuse to worry about anything. This is what Paul's teaching us. Refuse to worry about anything. Why? Let me tell you, the number one source of stress in your life is not work. It is not traffic. It is not your children. The number one source of stress in your life is worry. Now, it could be that you are overworked, but it's far more likely that you're overworried. And this is going to keep your heart unhappy, unhappy if you are overworried. In fact, the Bible is incredibly clear. God is incredibly clear about what he thinks about worry. Matter of fact, we find it right here in verse 6 of Philippians. Let's say it together. Here it is. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. In fact, I'll tell you this, Jesus thought this was such an important topic, that is worry, is such an important topic that he spent a significant part of his most famous sermon talking about it. What's Jesus' most famous sermon? The Sermon on the Mount. That's exactly right. He spent an inordinate amount of time talking about worry right here. In fact, he says this. He says, in that Sermon on the Mount, he gives us three good reasons why we shouldn't worry. The first thing he tells us in the Sermon on the Mount there is that worry is unreasonable. Write that in. Worry's unreasonable. Jesus said, look, it's illogical. Worry doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You say, where do you get that, Pastor John? Well, for Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, verse 25. Look what he says here. Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you'll wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Well, let me tell you why it doesn't make good sense to worry. Here's the one good reason is that worry will always exaggerate your problems. It always makes them bigger. Worry will never shrink one single problem in your life. In fact, the more you play that problem over and over in your mind, the bigger it gets. Worry makes molehills into mountains. That's what happens. It's unreasonable. All right, here's the other thing that Jesus says about worry. He said worry is unhelpful. It's not only unreasonable, but worry's unhelpful. It doesn't make your problems go away. In fact, it's kind of foolish to worry about something that you can't change. To worry about something you can't change is useless. You know, worry will never change your past, and worry can't change your future. It doesn't control your future. In fact, the only thing that worry will change, guess what, is you. It makes you unhappy. Worry changes you because it makes you miserable, makes you miserable. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus asked you this question. Look what he says. He says here, will all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Survey says, no, of course not. It just doesn't. It doesn't make a single difference. Worry is unreasonable. Worry is unhelpful. And here's the other thing he says, that worry is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. God says, look, folks, what are you worried about? Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? Don't you think I'm going to meet your needs? Don't you know that I love you? I made you. I created you. I've placed my spirit right inside of you. There's just no need to worry, for worry's unnecessary. And where we find that, again, Sermon on the Mount, verse 30, says this, "And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you?" You know, folks, listen, I've told you many, many, many times that happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. You're as happy as you choose to be, and you're as stressed out as you choose to be. You're as stressed out and as worried as you choose to be. You know, the first step in biblical stress management is to refuse to worry about anything. Why? It's unhelpful, it's unreasonable, it is unnecessary, it exaggerates your problems. In fact, Peter says this, he said, "Leave all your worries with him." Why? Because he cares for you. Yeah, do you believe it? He cares for you. All right, let me ask you this question. So, when Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, what city was he in when he was writing? He was in the city of Rome, right? He was in Rome. And where in Rome was he? He was in prison. He was in jail. That's exactly right. And so here he was in jail, chained 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to a guard in jail. In fact, he didn't know this at this moment, but he was awaiting his own execution, and he was writing the happiest book in the Bible. To put it into paraphrase, he was saying, "Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry." Right? Here he is. Be happy. There it is, right there. That's what Paul was saying in a paraphrase. Refuse to worry about anything. Be happy. That's what he's telling us. All right, that's first thing. What else is he telling us? Second thing he's teaching us there is to talk to God about everything. Talk to God about everything. Refuse to worry about anything, but talk to God about everything. In other words, don't panic, but pray. Don't worry, but worship. Talking to yourself is not going to help a whole lot, but talking to God will. In fact, let's go back to verse 6 right here. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, what does he say? Pray about everything. Keep going. Tell God your needs. That's right. Pray about everything and tell God your needs. Let me tell you something. You know, if you prayed as much as you worry, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. Have a whole lot less to worry about. You know, when you were a kid, if you were like me and you had a need, what did you do? You went to your mom and dad, say, "Mom, Dad, I need this. You know, this is what I need." And sometimes what we would ask for as kids was something that was going to be expensive. But, you know, if you're like me, you never gave a thought as to where your mom and dad might get the money, you know, to be able to do that. In fact, though, you know, it was not your job to worry about where they were going to get the money. You were the kid, right? Your job was simply to ask. Well, you know, here's the deal. You know, how God, I'll say that again, how God chooses to meet your needs is not your business. The way God chooses to do it is not for you to worry about. How God chooses to meet your need when you ask is not your concern. Your job is simply to ask. In fact, this is what James has to say about it in the New Testament. He said, "You do not have because you do not ask God." You don't have because you don't ask God. Now, let me tell you, he's not talking about, you know, you asking God just simply to fill up your stocking with all your wants. There's a big difference between wants and needs. God's not your Santa Claus, but what God is the one who cares enough about you to ensure that your needs are met. So, the second key to biblical stress management is to worry less and ask more. In other words, to pray, to ask God, to pray about everything. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. What else did Paul say when he was writing to the church at Rome? He said this. He said, "He that did not hesitate to spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, Can we not trust such a God to give us everything else that we can? What's that last word? Need, yeah. Can we not trust God who was willing to give up his own son? Can we not trust this God to give us everything else that we need? I mean, if you follow the logic here, folks, you know, here's the deal. You know, our greatest need is to get into heaven, you know, but we've got a problem. Heaven's a perfect place, but you're not perfect and neither am I. So God had to come up with plan B. And plan B was that God sent Jesus into the world. He said, I'll live the perfect life. I'll die for you. And so you can get into heaven on my ticket. And you know what we call that? We call it grace. Grace. You know, I don't work for it. I don't earn it. I can't buy it. And I certainly don't deserve it. That's why it's called grace. So if God is willing to do all of that, to spare his own son, to give him up for us all, can we not trust such a God as this to give us everything else that we can need? Well, you bet you can. You bet you can. There's not one single solitary area of your life that God does not care about and that God's not interested in. All right. So the first one is to refuse to worry about anything. Second is to talk to God about everything. And number three is to thank God in all things. Is to thank God in all things. Now, I want you to take notice of one thing up here. Look at that line again. It doesn't say thank God for all things. Did you see that? It doesn't say thank God for all things, but it says thank God in all things. Do you hear the difference? You know, thank God in all things, not thank God for all things. Why the difference? Because there are plenty of things that you shouldn't be grateful for. I mean, there's pain, there's hurt, there's evil in the world, there's cancer and heart disease and death. And Paul doesn't tell us to thank God for those kinds of things, but he says you can thank God in the midst of all that happens in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. There is always something to thank God for in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of anything you may be going through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You say, where do you get that, John, right here in verse 6 once again? Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him what? With a thankful heart, with a thankful heart. Now, I don't need to spend a lot of time on this because just in the last 4 weeks, I've talked about this subject twice in the last 4 weeks. You already know that there is a big connection between gratitude and happiness, a big connection between gratitude and happiness. Happy people are grateful people, and ungrateful people are unhappy people. Matter of fact, look what first Paul said when he was writing to the church at Thessalonica. He said, be thankful in all circumstances. Take your pen or pencil and circle the word in right there. Circle that. It's important too. He said, be thankful in all circumstances. He didn't say right there, be thankful in most circumstances, but in the midst of all circumstances right here. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Remember, folks, ungrateful people are unhappy people. That's right. Okay, so if you want to be happy, first, refuse to worry about anything. Two, talk to God about everything. Three, thank God in all things. And number four, here it is, think about good things. Think about the good things. Now, I know that sounds trite. You know, I do know it. But it's huge. It's a big deal. And I'll tell you why. Because the battle that you deal with stress, the battle you have with stress is won or lost in your mind. I want you to hear me say it again. The battle you have with stress is won and lost between your ears in your mind. It's not out there somewhere, but it's right in here between your ears. What you fill your mind with can determine the level of stress in your life. Matter of fact, we get that in verse 8. Paul talks about it right there. He says, look, he says, fix your thoughts. What do you think that means? Think about, right? Think about, dwell on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Paul is saying here, look, fix your thoughts on these things, folks. If you want peace of mind in your life, you're going to have to start controlling what it is that you allow inside your mind. And Paul gives you the test. He says this. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. And then he talks about think on the things that are pure and lovely and on the fine good things in others right there. Let me tell you, that's what he's talking about, is what you allow in your mind, true and good and right and pure and lovely and fine and good. If that's what it is, let me tell you, you're going to find that your happiness is going to increase, while your stress and your unhappiness is going to decrease significantly. And you know, think about that. I was thinking about this week. You know, when you look at it, true and good and right and pure and lovely and fine, you know what you have a picture there? You have a picture of God. I mean, these are the characteristics of God. So he's saying, look, think about God. Think about what he's done for you. Think about what he was willing to give up for you. Think about the fact that he was willing to stop at nothing in order to forgive you of your sinfulness, in order to bring you into his righteousness, in order to place his spirit within you, in order to give you life that is abundant right now and eternal in the heavens. I mean, this is God and what he's doing. Matter of fact, all the way back in Isaiah the prophet said this. He said, you, Lord, will keep in, what are those two words? Perfect peace. You, God, will keep in perfect peace everyone, all who trusts in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. What did Paul say? Fix your thoughts on. What did Isaiah said? All whose thoughts are fixed on you. You see, when we're willing to look at what God, who God is and what the Lord has done for us, how can we not but be grateful? And grateful people are happy people, and ungrateful people are unhappy people. That's what he's saying right here. Let me tell you a quick story before we go to around the Lord's table. Rosemary and I watched a movie yesterday afternoon before church called The Hiding Place. I'd seen it before, but it was a long time ago when I was probably a teenager when I saw that movie for a very first time. The Hiding Place is an incredible movie about this family called the Ten Boom family in the Netherlands. They lived in Amsterdam, and it was during World War II. And the primary character in this movie is a woman named Corrie ten Boom. She was a young Christian woman in the Netherlands during World War II. And her father was a clockmaker. They were fairly well off during that time. And so they had a pretty large house there in Amsterdam. Well, as Christians, when the Nazis began coming into and taking over the Netherlands, one of the things they began to do was put all kinds of restrictions on the Jews that were living there and began to deport them to concentration camps. Well, the Ten Boom family believed that God was calling them to stand up and to do something, that if they were to give in to this, they would be giving in to evil in the world. And so they prepared their attic to be able to take in some Jews that were around them. And they housed some Jews in the place that they call the hiding place. In fact, you should see this movie. You can see it on YouTube. You can Google it. Go to YouTube. Google it. If you have Comcast or Roku, you can stream it right to your TV. And it is just a really good movie about what was going on during that time. And this family of Christians who were willing to stand up to the Nazis. Anyway, as the story goes on, the Nazis had realized that the Ten Boom family had been able to get an extraordinary amount of ration cards, and that's what tipped them off, to be able to get enough food to be able to feed everybody in the house. Well, once they broke in, they carted away Corey's mom and dad and brother and sister and Corey herself to the Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany. During that time, she never gave up on her faith. During that time of hell on earth, she never gave up, even though her father died. Her mother was killed. Her sister died of typhoid there in the Ravensbrück camp, and her brother was sent to the gas chambers at Bergen-Belsen concentration camp. The only one who survived of the Ten Boom family was Corey herself. And as she walked out, she realized that when they let her out right before the end of the, before the Allies came and set free the concentration camp survivors, she realized that she'd been told that her release was a clerical error. And when she got out, she received a letter, and underneath the stamp, it said, in code, all watches, remember that's your father was a clockmaker, right? All watches are safe. What did that mean? That every one of the Jews who they hid upstairs survived. It's an amazing story. And one of the things that Corey says in the book, The Hiding Place, she said this, what an amazing quote. You won't find this one in the movie, but you'll find it in the book. It says, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you just look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. I love that. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. Why? There's so much evil going on around us. If you look within, you'll be depressed. Why? Because there's nothing you can do to change anything. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. It all depends, folks, on what you fix your thoughts on. In the movie, she had one more quote, and I'll give it to you. She said, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. Let me tell you what, if that doesn't warm your heart, I don't know what will. You know, you want to be happy, folks? Remember, refuse to worry about anything. Talk to God about everything. Thank God in all things and think about the good things. And here's, again, the key verse, because if you do, here's the prescription, here's the guarantee. If you do, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. All right, get it? Good. We're going to pray the prayer at the very bottom of your outline. Pull that out. It's on the very bottom of the page right there. Let's pray together. Ready? Go. Lord, help me to worry about nothing, pray about everything, thank you in all things, think about good things. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you, everybody. We're going to invite our ushers to come forward. Remember, our scripture is Deuteronomy 14:23. It says this, let's read, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first. Say that louder. Put God first in your lives. Deuteronomy 14:23. God bless you, everybody.